So, today my title is, Can Anything Good Come Out of Cana? This is the incident where Nathanael meets Jesus. And I know we've sung a lot, so this is going to be 10 minutes, all right? Lord, forgive me for that lie. I'm going to make this 10 minutes. Right. My first question is this. How do you know me? Anybody recognize that slide? It's the King and I, and the song is? It could have been any of those. But the song is, Getting to Know You, Getting to Know. There you go. You see, I knew you knew it. Don't you? Well, everyone else did, Hazel, so you're all right, love. Don't worry. It's an old song. It's an old song. The fact is, it's a song that I just typed into Google, Getting to Know You, or I think those are the exact words, of course, and that picture came up, and I thought, oh, of course. I thought, what picture can I put up there to engage people with? So if it means nothing to you, don't worry. It's all right. It's just Yul Brynner trying to sing. But Nathanael has this question. How do you know me? How do you know me? Jesus is just starting to get a group of disciples around him. He's transforming from carpenter to rabbi. Rabbis would normally have a couple of followers, but Jesus had 12. And there were plenty of rabbis. Jesus wasn't the only one. But normally, they would have the teaching of the rabbi would be passed on to one or two people who would carry it on when the rabbi had died. But Jesus had 12, and then another 70 or 72, depending on the reading you favour. And, of course, we know he had many, many more, because today he's got 2.3 billion followers. And we thank God for that. Jesus meets Nathanael with an opening line that none of us would expect. He says, here is a true Israelite. No deceit is in him. Now, I don't know about you, but would you expect the King of all creation, the Messiah, the Son of God, to come up to you and say that of you? This really honored Nathanael. It spoke so highly of him. But Jesus wasn't flattering Nathanael. He was saying it because it was true. My question for you today is, if Jesus walked up to you now, what would you expect him to say to you? Now, you can come out with all the pat answers. As Christians, we've heard them all over the years. But the question is what would Jesus say to you? Are you confident that he knows you? Are you confident? Because we need to be confident, because he does know us. It says in another place, Jesus didn't need any man to tell him what a man's heart was like, because he knew what a man's heart was like. And we need to recognize that Jesus still knows about us. So let me tell you this today. Jesus knows you. He knows about you. He knows what's going on in your head. My second point is under the fig tree. Yes, people, that is a fig tree. Isn't it great? Looks fantastic, doesn't it? Firstly, this passage shows us that Nathanael didn't find Jesus. Jesus found Nathanael. And I think sometimes we can get all sorts of things in our heads. Oh, well, I found Jesus when I was only 8 and a half. Actually, I think Jesus found me. And I think Jesus is the one who goes looking. And only when we realize and have a revelation of him do we feel that we found him. But actually, Jesus is always looking for us. Now, there was a Jewish tradition that the Torah should be read. The Torah was the first five books of our Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. The idea was that the Torah should be read under a fig tree. And so, in saying this, when Jesus is saying to Nathanael, here you are, you're a true Israelite, there's no deceit in you, maybe he is referring to him having read the books of the law under the fig tree. And maybe that's what it means. Some teachers of the law would teach the law under a fig tree so that people could engage with this idea. I would suggest to you, though, the most prominent idea in his mind might have been the Book of Susanna, which is not in our Bibles, but it's in Catholic Bibles, it's in Orthodox Bibles. It's the Book of Susanna is an apocryphal book, and it's sort of one of those books that tacks on to the Book of Daniel. And it's about a woman who is accused of adultery falsely by three men. And these three men are taken apart separately, and they are quizzed about what they saw. And the stories all start the same way. She was under the fig tree. But that is the only bit of the story that the three men agree with. And when they listen to these three stories and send these three men away, they release Susanna because they realize these three men were lying to them. And of course, this is partly why we consider it's important today to take people alone and talk to them about their statements so that they can't collude with other people. And there's some wisdom here in that. But when Jesus greets Nathanael this way, maybe Nathanael is thinking, yeah, this is referring to Susanna. There were a lot of lies told about Susanna under a tree, but this man is the truth, and he's speaking the truth about me. It's all very interesting, but I would suggest to you that that is probably what was going through his mind. There is another thing, though, that's very important about being under this fig tree. Jesus says, here is a true Israelite. That's a son of Israel, who is Jacob. And it was Jacob, it was Israel, who laid his head on a stone for a pillar and had a vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder to heaven, or a stairway. Jesus is suggesting to Nathanael that if he follows him, he will have a similar revelation, just as powerful as Jacob or Israel's revelation, just by hanging round with Jesus. You hear it here. Jesus says, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And remember, the only difference between that sentence and the sentence about Jacob's dream is that the angels and angels of God are ascending and descending on the Son of Man, on Jesus. And of course, Nathanael would be with Jesus at times when he received angelic ministry. But we thank God powerfully for the sense of God in this, that Jesus is saying some very meaningful words. I suppose the message about this point is this. When you were under the fig tree, I saw you. You know, okay, it's like you were on the bus stop or something like that. But actually, these are very meaningful words. There was a lot of sense behind them to an Israelite at that time. And I would suggest to you that is now why we get to point three, which is simply this, his statement of belief. Nathanael has a very, very profound statement of belief here. He goes from, how do you know me, to, you are the Son of God. you are the king of Israel. And he goes that far in a sentence. That's actually profound, isn't it? That Jesus can just say something simple to somebody and they go from, who are you? To, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. And that awareness, that powerful connection that Nathanael develops with Jesus, the Son of God, is, I would suggest to you, the result of the profound nature of the words Jesus said to him. Whether he was thinking about Susanna, whether he was thinking about reading the Torah under the fig tree, whether it was the big deal about Jacob's ladder, whatever it was profound enough to change Nathanael's heart. And I would suggest to you, any time we meet with Jesus, we give him the opportunity to speak to us profoundly and powerfully. In the last couple of weeks, I've had a few little words spoken to me that were very, very powerful. Somebody this week prophesied over me, you are a snail. Now, you think, oh, thank you. We had some in our freezer once when Ariel was cooking something French, and I don't want to be a snail, I really don't. But he expounded on it, and he said to me about the thing about a snail is wherever it goes, it takes its house with it. And that meant something to me at that moment in time. And you might say, well, what does that mean to anybody? It meant something to me. What Jesus said to Nathanael meant something to him. Do you see? And sometimes we need to understand that God speaks to us in just the way we need and at just the time we need it. And we need to give him opportunity and welcome that opportunity and allow him to say these things to us. Thank God that he is Lord. He is King. Thank God that he is somebody real and powerful. And I want to say to you today, I believe. I believe in him. And I trust you believe in him. But Nathanael's statement of belief, it was almost prophetic. You know, if you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's what the scripture says. If we confess with our mouth, if we believe in our heart, Nathanael believed in his heart. And I believe at that moment in time, something like a wave swept over Nathanael, renewing him, refreshing him. And from that moment on, he followed Jesus. It's a huge change in direction, which we still recognize today. And we still say this has to be the way that we are as Christians. When we hear the call of God, when we hear Jesus saying, come follow me, we have to give up everything and follow him. And whether that's whatever that means in your life, that's fine. But whatever we do, we must respond to Jesus. So today, I just want to say this to you. I was preparing this message, which is finished now, and I was sat thinking, who was the last person I remember preaching this? And it was Stephen Scholes, who many of you will recognize his name. He's preached here a number of times, but he preached this at Foxwood, so that's over 8 years ago, and he preached about Nathanael sat under the fig tree. And I was just thinking about this, and I just began to pray for Stephen. The phone rang, and it was Stephen Scholes. He rings me twice a year, and it just happened to be at that very moment. And I said to him, brother, I was just praying for you. And then I told him why. But, you know, I don't think that we can ignore things like that and write them off as coincidences. We had made a lovely connection. We really had a good time together, and I just felt very encouraged to share that with you about Nathanael. So today, let us remember to get up and follow Jesus. Let us remember to state our belief in him and to make sure that we are ready to follow him wherever he calls us. Will you just bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, we call on your name. We say, Lord, we don't know how you knew us, but we're glad you did. Lord Jesus, it's amazing that you found us when you did and where you did, but we thank you so much that you found us. And Lord Jesus, today, we just want to say, we have chosen to believe you. We believe you. We believe you're the Son of God. We believe you're the King. We believe you are the one that God has given us in salvation. And we thank you and we honor you and we praise you. And we just declare, oh God, we love you. And we thank you so much for all you've done. Thank you, Lord, that today we've been able to sing. Thank you, Lord, today that we've been able to remember you in the way that we wanted to. And we just pray for all of those out there on the internet connecting with us today that you would bless them too, and that together we might all soon be meeting together regularly again and knowing the goodness of God. Save our city, Lord, from this horrible pandemic. Lord, we ask you to resist the rise of this in our city, and we pray for the people that are suffering right now, for those that are in hospital. We pray the touch of God, the power of God. Lord, raise the sick people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.